tuned for Lialogos Radio, the weekly radio program featuring the best in Greek music and culture, plus interviews with Greek and international newsmakers. Lialogos Radio with Michael Nevaralekis begins now.
Κάθε μία, γνωριμία, μια καινούρια τρικυμία και ένας άλλος πυρετός. Κάθε νέα γνωριμία, όνειρα με συντομία, μια ελπίδα κάθε μία και ένας πόνος δυνατός. Αν εσύ δεν είσαι απ' αυτές, κι αν εσύ δεν φταίς, τι πρέπει να γίνει? Όταν πάρουν όλα φωτιά, θα κάψει ψευτιά. Τι θέλεις να μείνει, τι θέλεις να μείνει? Στη ζωή μου κάθε μία γνωριμία, μια καινούργια τρικυμία κι ένας άλλος πυρετός. Στη ζωή μου κάθε μία γνωριμία, μια γλυκιά λιποθυμία, μια παγίδα του καημού. Κάθε νέα γνωριμία, όνειρα με συντομία και ένα βήμα κάθε μία προς τα χείλη του γκρεμού.
Κι αν εσύ δεν είσαι απ' αυτές, κι αν εσύ δεν φταίς, τι πρέπει να γίνει? Όταν πάρουν όλα φωτιά, τα κάψει ψευτιά. Τι θέλεις να μείνει, τι θέλεις να μείνει?
Στη ζωή μου κάθε μία γνωριμία, μια καινούργια τρικυμία και ένας άλλος πυρετός.
That was Manolis Lilakis starting off this week's program with a song titled Piretos. This is Dialogos Radio, the weekly radio program which brings together the worldwide Greek community each week on 15 radio stations across 5 countries, 4 continents, and online. My name is Michael Nevaradakis, and I wanted to start off today's show by welcoming our new listeners on the Meta Deftero programma, which is the 15th station to join our growing broadcast network. So welcome to all of our new listeners. And coming up on today's program, the Dialogos interview series will feature an interview with United Nations Economic Policy Advisor Rania Andonopoulos, who is based in New York City and who will talk with us about the present economic situation in Greece, the recent economic proposals announced by the main opposition party Syriza, and her own proposals for how Greece could emerge from the crisis. And following today's interview, we will have a special surprise guest speak with us on our program, and we will also feature our Commentary of the Week segment. Each week, Dialogos Radio brings you independent, non-profit, non-commercial programming, including interviews such as the one that is coming up in a few moments. We've interviewed in the past the likes of Noam Chomsky, Henry Giroux, Greg Palast, John Perkins, musicians and bands from Greece such as Imam Bailey and Yota Nega, well-known Greek economists, scientists, academics, authors, athletes, journalists, activists, and other notable personalities as well. We've also brought you a diverse range of great Greek music from multiple eras and multiple genres, in addition to features on Greek music and culture. And we're also serving as the media sponsor for the U.S. screening tour of acclaimed Greek documentary Palikari, Louis Tikas, and the Ludlow Massacre. The Dialogos Radio is put together by a team of volunteers, and it is done with you, our listener, in mind. One thing, however, that we cannot escape are our rising operational costs, which are making it increasingly challenging to keep the Galagos Radio alive. And so starting with today's broadcast and for a limited time, we are launching our first ever fundraiser, and we invite you, our listener, to show your support for independent, hard-hitting, non-profit, non-commercial Greek radio, which features news, interviews, and great Greek music that you will not hear anywhere else on the dial. And in return, we've made a number of exciting gifts available in exchange for your contribution, including books by notable Greek and international authors, DVDs by the likes of Greg Palast, Greek music, including the latest album from Greek band Iman Bayeli, and much, much more. We'll have more about our fundraiser later in our broadcast, but we invite you to click on over to thealagosmedia.org, our website, and to check out our exciting gifts and to show your support, which will go a long way toward keeping the Galagos Radio on the air and alive. Coming up right now, though, is this week's edition of the Diálogos interview series and our interview with economist Rania Andonopoulos here on Diálogos Radio. The Diálogos interview series, our weekly segment featuring interviews on matters pertaining to Greece and the worldwide Greek community, coming up next here on Diálogos Radio. Joining us today on the Diálogos Radio and the Diálogos interview series is UN Economic Policy Advisor Rania Andonopoulos. Rania, thank you, first of all, for joining us today.
Thank you very much for the kind invitation. I look forward to our discussion today.
To begin our discussion, let's talk about the Greek economic situation at large. The government months ago proclaimed that Greece is an economic success story, that the worst of the crisis is over, and that economic growth is on the way. Do these claims reflect reality in your view?
Well, it is wishful thinking. I have to be quite straightforward about this. The signs are there that the depression that we are in is gradually reaching that bottom. Whether we're going to have positive growth this year or not remains to be seen. Analysts are saying that there would be something very modest, less than 0.5%. Others disagree even with that. But the economy, really, for us to say that there is a turnaround, we have to see that in terms of living standards, which means better jobs, better wages, taxes that can recover what we have lost in terms of public services, ranging from health, education, transportation. It is not unlike, in fact, what we had seen in Latin America in the 80s during the structural adjustment period, and in Africa throughout the world, in fact, when those countries faced the debt crisis. So in my view, no, we are nowhere near seeing the end of the tunnel, and we are nowhere near recovering living standards.
You mentioned, of course, the structural adjustment that took place in Africa and in Latin America. How did countries in these two regions end up recovering their economies and getting out of the crisis that they were facing?
The majority of the countries, in fact, were, after 3 to 4 years into this crisis, able to renegotiate their debt and see that a big part of it, ranging from 40% to 70%, in fact, was forgiven. There is a term that we use for countries in Africa, the highly indebted countries, and civil society organizations, institutes were arguing for many, many years that this was the only way out of the crisis. And after about 15 years, it was, believe it or not, Tony Blair that put the issue on the policy table. There were negotiations, and in fact, the debt of the highly indebted countries in Africa was completely forgiven.
Now, would something like this be an option for Greece at the present time?
Well, the partners, the social partners, are not interested in having this discussion at the moment. As you know, there are other options that are discussed and they are on the table. One of them is the lengthening of the repayment time, the further reduction of the interest rate that we have to pay on the funds borrowed so far, it's not very clear where we're going. They're stalling. They do not want the ECB, the Troika, what we refer to as the Troika in Greece, are not really negotiating as vigorously as they should. And as you know, there is a political debate in Greece as to which party can, in fact, allow the country to enter a new and fresh round of negotiations. But at the moment, there isn't such a discussion in terms of planning of a European forum or a negotiation between Greece and Troika for the reduction as such. There are some ideas and rumors and efforts from the Ministry of Finances, you know, but nothing concrete as of yet.
Having mentioned, of course, the political situation in Greece, at the recent Thessaloniki International Trade Fair, the leader of Syriza, the main opposition party, Alexis Tsipras, presented his party's economic platform. What are the key highlights of this platform, and do you believe that this set of proposals is a credible alternative to the current policies that are being enforced?
I have to say that the key to what the Syriza party is proposing has to be understood as the only alternative to what we have now. It's a political juxtaposition. What the current government believes is that by reducing wages, you will increase competitiveness, you will increase exports, you will make the country attractive for investment, and therefore both domestic investment and foreign investment will enter the country and revive the economy. So balance your budget, start paying back the loans that the government has accumulated, clean up the mess, essentially, and you will get financial markets to trust you again so you can borrow from them instead of borrowing from Troika. And when you borrow from Troika, you have all kinds of conditionalities that you have to observe for your economy. Then you will signal to the financial markets that your house is in order. And given that you have implemented the reforms that are presumably needed in terms of reducing labor costs, for one, the country will revive. Unfortunately, this is what was prescribed early on, since 2010, and it has not worked. In fact, it has not worked in any country, that the country will, our country, like other countries in the past, will reach a bottom, and from there on, you can only go up. It will be a new cycle. It will happen at some point, but we don't know when. Keynes had famously said that you can stay in a very low level equilibrium, meaning you can have unutilized resources. You can be below full employment of labor. You can have half of your factory shut down, and there is nothing endemic in the system that will get you out of there. And what was his prescription? His prescription was that in order to help the private sector recover, what you need is, when private sector investment lags behind, you need government investment to increase. But Greece, of course, cannot do that at the moment. That's what the prescription says. You have to reduce government spending. So we were in a recession. We entered a state of a great depression. Greece had lost 25% of GDP. That is more than what happened to the United States during the Great Depression in 1929-33. So in a horrifying situation is the one that we face, instead of having the space for government spending to increase, we are constantly restricting government spending so that we can generate the primary surplus and convince our Troika lenders as well as financial markets that we're getting the house in order. Well, the house cannot get in order through that path. So all of what Syriza has proposed goes exactly in the opposite direction. It tries essentially to restart the engine of growth modestly. I would say that in Greece right now, we need a lot more than what they proposed. But they are addressing some key issues. For example, the reinstatement of the minimum wage to the level that was there prior to the forceful transformation and demand that was imposed in the country. It is quite incredible what happened. In any event, let me very briefly say that the minimum wage 2 years ago was 751 euros per month, and it became 586. And for the youth, even if you have a university degree, the minimum wage, you are an architect and you're entering the labor market for the first time. The wage that you can receive legally is 490 euros a month. This is horrifying, of course, but the issue here for the economy, not from a humanitarian point of view, not from a living standard point of view, but from the standpoint of the economy, the key issue here is that with lower wages, people do not have the income to spend back in the economy, and therefore the spiral takes us further down and deeper and deeper. So my reading of what Syriza proposed was to really reverse that.
We're speaking with United Nations Economic Policy Advisor Rania Andonopoulos here on The Allegos Radio. And Rania, one of the big economic issues in Greece recently is the implementation of the controversial and unpopular new Unified Property Tax, or ENFIA, which passed with a slim one-vote majority in the summer session of Parliament. The legality and constitutionality of this tax has been disputed by many. What is your reaction to this tax and its probable impact on Greek taxpayers and property owners at this time?
It is a regressive tax. It's another regressive tax. Essentially, it taxes property, but you have to understand that although it may be surprising in other contexts in other countries, Greece is not the only country, but it is among those countries where the accumulation of any kind of assets and wealth in households, in order to transmit that accumulation of wealth to the next generation, traditionally took the form of originally land because of the vast agricultural population that we had, and subsequently in private dwellings, in apartments. So it is not strange, actually, in Greece, for a low middle class person to own their home, not to be renting. It was a goal. It was the pride, if I may say, of household to be able to live in their own home so that no matter what happens, nobody can kick you out of your own home. So you have a situation now with this tax that is being imposed, that is unfairly being imposed on individuals that are low income, that are not wealthy, and they are called to pay a tax on what they own. And this is very clear. The government made many mistakes. For example, if you owned an apartment and you were not renting it, you were not even living in it, and it was dilapidated by now because you do not have the income to maintain it and to upgrade it, you were still being taxed. So you could be an unemployed person with no savings whatsoever, and you are asked to pay that. So this is not going to work, and it is doubtful. As we know, every month you have roughly 1 billion more debt on behalf of households that is added to the public sector balance simply because people do not have the cash to pay their obligations to the state. So on top of that, now you're imposing one more thing, and you're expecting that you're going to solve the problem of the lack of revenue for the state. It's a gamble. It's a big gamble the government is taking.
Another major problem that the Greek economy and Greek society are facing right now is the issue of high unemployment, which is hovering at around 27% officially at this time. What proposals do you have for how the unemployment issue could be dealt with in Greece?
I would say that it is one of the most critical issues that the country is facing. And in fact, I want to remind you that countries that went into a crisis, whether we look at the Asian financial crisis in 1997 or crisis in Latin America and other parts of the world, that what we know historically is that even when GDP recovers, when the economy starts growing again, employment recovers much, much slower. Therefore, the average is anywhere between 5 and 10 years to reach the employment rates that the country had prior to the crisis. I believe the same thing is true in Greece. If you look at the very high growth period in Greece, which was, say, from 2000 to 2007, we were growing at 4% a year when the European average was about 1.5 to 2%. So that was a very high growth period in Greece. And during this high growth period, the economy generated roughly 50 to 60,000 jobs a year. Can you imagine when today we have about 1.3 million people that are unemployed? How many years it would take to go back to where we were prior to the crisis, say in 2008, when the number of the unemployed were about 370,000? Today they are latest statistics say 1,280,000, it is closer to 1.37, frankly. But even that is an underestimate. In any event, it's clear that this recovery in jobs will take a very long time. And unfortunately, this government has been very, very slow to react. In fact, all the policies that they are implementing are resulting in more businesses going bankrupt and therefore more unemployment and with lower wages, less demand. And therefore, that vicious cycle is really terrible in Greece at the moment. To go to your question, therefore, because this is where we find ourselves, the one thing that cannot be done is what Mr. Samaras, the Prime Minister, announced right before the European elections. He said that the Ministry of Finance has estimated that in about 5 to 6 years in Greece, we are going to have 700,000 jobs created. Nobody knows how they pull this number out of what hat they put the number. It is a fantasy. It will not happen, unfortunately. And the private sector, if one looks at the structure of the Greek economy, in fact, in terms of investment, it has been going down every single year. So we do not see a pickup of investment spending in Greece. Tourism went up, but the rest of the economy is quite stagnant, if not shrinking constantly. So when the private sector is hurting so much, this is what I think must be understood. The private sector in Greece is hurting because of the policies that have been imposed. And so are employees because they are fired and because they cannot find job opportunities. So when the private sector cannot do it, who can do it potentially? Either people on their own, they will try to scrape a living so they will become self-employed. And we had an explosion of self-employment in Greece and in every country where you have a severe crisis. But for every 8 self-employment businesses that open up, one will survive. What about the rest? It's impossible. You cannot have an entire country being run by individuals that are catering to the public because there are not enough customers out there for everyone. So we are in a bind, and therefore I will go back to what happened in the Great Depression in this country, in the United States. And what happened was the huge program of the Public Works Administration. It was part of the New Deal program. And the state steps in to fill in temporarily the gap of the private sector. When the private sector cannot produce the jobs, it is only really the government that can provide appropriate work projects that the private sector cannot undertake at the moment in order not to let the most valuable resource in the country, actually, its labor, get devalued, stay idle. And before one thinks about the economic importance of this policy, one also has to think about the private personal cost of individuals, the depression, the lack of income, the loss of skills, the violence that erupts from it, and the dangerous ideologies that find quite fertile land. I mean, imagine all the youth. In Greece, we have 55% of youth being unemployed. More than 1 in 2 people are unemployed between the ages of 15 and 25 years old. So it is quite dangerous. It is really creating the conditions for people to stop believing in democracy, to stop believing in their own government. It's not a fault, but they are found in a desperate situation without anybody helping. So the state has to step in. That is my view. And in fact, there is a term for that. There was an economist that came up with a whole analytical framework as to why we should be thinking about the state as the employer of last resort, ELR. That's Hyman Minsky. He's mostly known for his financial fragility theories. Everybody with a financial crisis talked about the Minsky moment, but he also developed this theory, the employer of last resort.
We are on the air with United Nations Economic Policy Advisor Rania Andonopoulos here on Dialogos Radio and the Dialogos Interview Series. And Rania, a couple of weeks ago on our program, we featured an interview with a member of the Basic Income Initiative in Europe. Do you believe that such an initiative is feasible for Greece and for other countries?
The feasibility is something we can debate. Under present conditions, of course, it is not. But the basic income guarantee, I think it's an interesting idea, first of all, let me say. But why is it that we need a basic income guarantee? We need a basic income guarantee because we want to ensure that people can maintain a minimum or a decent standard of living, even when they're not working. But to understand why we would need such a policy, we had to first ask ourselves, why is it that in a society you can have a small segment or a large segment of the population that cannot provide for itself? How does it happen? The second issue is that when we talk about providing for ourselves, we do not provide for our basic needs and small luxuries of life or bigger luxuries of life. We do not provide for our needs exclusively through income and through markets. The state provides public goods, and that ranges from building the roads and providing the healthcare services and the education and establishing a system where we tax and spend and we have the minimum that we require in our old age and so on. So the state, through state provisioning, provides for a substantial amount, actually, of the needs of the population. And finally, we should not forget that a lot of our needs are covered because of the activities that we and others perform within our household. We cook for ourselves, we wash our clothes, and therefore, to have a healthy standard of living, you require income, you require to go to the market and buy things, you require the state to be providing for the needs of the citizens, and also you need to have a safe house within which, household within which you can perform these functions. The basic income guarantee, in my humble view, focuses a little bit too much on the income that can buy things from the market. Let me give an example. I've heard many colleagues that discuss this issue say that when you have a basic income or minimum income, because in Europe that's what is prevailing, it's the minimum income, not the basic income, to the degree that you have cash transfers to households with conditionalities, without conditionalities, small amounts, bigger amounts, there is no doubt that the household ends up with income and they will spend it to buy something, and therefore chances are that there will be more spending on health needs, on educational needs, on entertainment needs, on food needs. But we do have an option. You have the option of giving people the money to go find the private hospital to get the service that they need. Or we have the option of the government ensuring that there are publicly available health services for the citizens. Why then we should put a premium on individuals getting the income so that they can buy the service? I'm not sure. I know that a lot of progressive people, some of my friends, are in favor or are flirting, let's say, with the idea. But it is not clear to me why participating in the market as a buyer with the dollars in your hand to buy the service is preferable to the guarantees that we have in terms of housing, in terms of education, in terms of health. I think that any kind of transfer of income would be more than acceptable if the state has already met its obligations to the citizens in terms of public goods provisioning. We cannot take away money. We cannot have these services, housing, homelessness, as issues that we are confronting as a society, and to be talking about privatization, essentially, of the services. Here's the money. Go get it, go find it on your own in the market. One of the reasons that you cannot do that is because there is no minimum income guarantee or basic income guarantee that can pay, for example, for brain surgery or treatment of cancer. You cannot do it on your own. So we want to have the funds to guarantee that we can do this in a collective way, not in an individualistic way. So although it sounds nice and progressive in many ways to have all households indiscriminately receive a minimum amount of income that secures a decent living, I think that there are alternative ways to provide for the basic needs of citizens before we can get to that discussion. As for Greece, that is beyond unrealistic at the moment.
Final question before we wrap up. There are many who maintain that Greece should still go ahead with a stoppage of payment or even go as far as a departure from the Eurozone. What is your view regarding these proposals?
There is an advantage to that, of course. For the debt to be sustainable, the economy must be able to grow, to produce enough income, to have enough tax revenue, and to pay in an orderly fashion the obligations that the government has undertaken by borrowing. But if you allow me, I want to say the following. There are other ideas that, in my opinion, are extremely important that should be negotiated as we speak. One of them, and these are ideas, in fact, that Syriza has announced and supports. Others, before even the party came out with all of these ideas, there was a discussion in the academic community and in the policy community. So there is an overlap, in fact, of ideas, I would say, between the platform of some parties in Greece and what we speak about now. One idea is the special status moratorium, meaning you give a country a little bit of breathing space for a few years, maybe 2 years, and you allow the country to try to stabilize itself. So the moratorium is one idea. The other idea is that repayments are tied to the growth rate so that you pay in proportion to the growth of the economy. If your economy is stagnating, you are not obligated to pay. These are measures that can be negotiated. And in fact, because you asked me earlier the question about what can be done now that we have a lot of unemployment and so on, there is a study that was presented to all political parties and to the Central Budget Office of Greece. I was involved, I directed the study. And what we have shown is that if you were to have a government that would assume the obligation of creating these jobs right now, much like during the Great Depression in the United States. Suppose that you were to do that and you put a target of 300,000 jobs. At the current minimum wage, you would be absorbing about 2.5% of GDP. During the latest crisis, the financial crisis, the United States in 2 years' time spent 5%. Germany and Brazil spent 4%. China spent 13% of GDP. And we're talking about 2 to 4% in Greece, a country that is in severe crisis. These other countries that I mentioned were nowhere near where Greece is, of course, right? So they invested in direct job creation, in projects that benefit the public. And the result that Greece would get would be that for 300,000 jobs that you create through the public sector, with a minimum of 1 year or 2 years, you would be creating at the same time another 110,000 jobs in the private sector, because the wages you receive are going to be spent back in the economy. So here is a suggestion. This is what comes to my mind, that the reduction of the debt or debt forgiveness or renegotiation or revisiting the whole issue of sustainability of the debt and so on is an ongoing process, no matter which party is in power. Right now, we have New Democracy and PASOK. Rumors and the polls indicate that perhaps Syriza will be the next government. Whoever the government is, this negotiation will take a very long time. In order to achieve agreement and do that in an orderly fashion, in my opinion. But there are the low-hanging fruits, I want to call them, which is we, instead of having to pay 8 to 10 billion next year, we can pay 4 billion, and the 6 billion will be directed towards reigniting the economy. But it is not a vague proposal that one has to propose. One can say very specifically, 5 billion will go towards job creation. And here is the increase in tax revenue. The tax revenue will cover more than half of the program's cost. So if you get a net cost of something like 1.5%, 2%, not even 2% of GDP, I'm going to be able to create 300,000 plus 110,000, 400,000 jobs. I'm going to cut my unemployment rate by 1/3 minimum. And I think that becomes a negotiating tool where very practically you discuss with Troika as a government what the benefits will be if I don't pay. So it is not a voluntaristic, I don't like it, I did not create the debt and therefore I shouldn't pay it. It's a country that has to assume its responsibilities. But we cannot be killing the patient with the remedies that we are proposing. They have to develop an understanding that there is sequencing in policy. And when you don't get the sequencing right, you are destroying the economy. You require reverse sequencing. First, you have to stimulate domestic demand and employment directly by the government, and subsequently, you're going to get the investment coming in because there will be more demand, because there will be more stability, because the country will be generating some revenue precisely because the economy is growing. So I think that in the longer term, how the debt, huge problem that we have, how it will be settled, is to be negotiated. But fundamentally, what you need to do is see that the economy grows, and with very specific analysis, very concrete analysis and concrete proposals, I think that the bargaining position of Greece can improve. In effect, and I will close with that, that would be a call for solidarity. When you say, I'm not going to pay 4 billion, for example, out of what the various countries in Europe expect that Greece should be paying, and to ask precisely for the solidarity and the unity in Europe, because the 4 billion will go to create jobs for those that have been unemployed for over 1 year. And, you know, in Greece, we have 75% of the unemployed are unemployed for over a year. You have 400,000 people that have not held a job for over 4 years. So the poverty and all the statistics, you know, 2/3 of the population now are at risk of poverty in Greece. So I think that a job guarantee proposal, a job guarantee that the state advances, could become very convincing in a negotiation process.
Rania, thank you very much for taking the time to speak with us today on Dialogos Radio and the Dialogos interview series.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Attention iTunes users, Dialogos Radio is now just a click away. You can now download our podcasts and listen to Dialogos Radio 24/7 anytime, anywhere. Check us out today in the iTunes podcast directory and in iTunes Radio. We just wrapped up this week's edition of the Dialogos interview series here on Dialogos Radio, and our interview with United Nations Economic Policy Advisor Rania Andonopoulos. The podcast of this interview will soon be available on our website, dialogosmedia.org, and also in the Dialogos Radio apps for Android, Kindle, and BlackBerry devices, in iTunes and TuneIn.com, in the Windows Marketplace, and in the WeCast app for iPhones and iPads. We'll take a break for some music, and in a few moments we'll be back with a surprise guest.
Ψυχή μου διψασμένη. Πίνω, πίνω από τους χυμούς σου φως μου λύνω. Το ένιγμα του κόσμου λύνω. Το ένιγμα του κόσμου. Πίνω, πίνω από τους χυμούς σου φως μου λύνω. Το ένιγμα του κόσμου λύνω. Το ένιγμα του κόσμου. Τους χυμούς σου φως μου λύνω. Το ένιγμα του κόσμου λύνω. Το ένιγμα του κόσμου. Πίνω, πίνω από τους χυμούς σου φως μου λύνω. Το ένιγμα του κόσμου λύνω. Το ένιγμα του κόσμου. Thank you. κρύβω σου χάδι. Πίνω, πίνω, απ' τους χυμούς σου φως μου λύνω. Το ένιγμα του κόσμου λύνω. Το ένιγμα του κόσμου. Πίνω, πίνω, απ' τους χυμούς σου φως μου λύνω. Το ένιγμα του κόσμου λύνω. Το ένιγμα του κόσμου.
Take the Dialogos Radio on the go with you with the new Dialogos Radio app for Android devices. Now you can listen live to the Dialogos Radio and the Dialogos Radio 24/7, download our podcasts, and read our latest articles all in our free Android app, available now in the Google Play Store. We're back. This is the Dialogos Radio, the weekly radio program which brings together the worldwide Greek community, where we just heard Anastasia Moutsatsou just now with a song, Pino Pino. The Dialogos Radio today is officially launching its first ever fundraiser, and on the line with us right now is a surprise guest who would like to share a few words about why he feels the Dialogos Radio deserves your support. Would you introduce yourself for us, please?
This is Greg Pallast reporting.
Greg, thanks first of all for calling in. It's a great surprise, and it's always great to hear from you as well. And you're calling in specifically because the Dialogos Radio right now is engaged in its first ever fundraiser. And I wanted to take this opportunity to ask you, why do you believe it is important for listeners to show their support for independent, alternative, and nonprofit media such as our program?
Well, because you're unbought, unbossed, and it's the real thing. For those who don't know me, I am a reporter. Greg Pallast is a reporter for BBC Television. We are also non-commercial and, you know, no corporate sponsorships. And we're not the petroleum broadcast system brought to you by the good folks at Chevron. I also work for the Guardian newspapers, which is owned by a not-for-profit foundation. And that's important because when you're dealing with for-profit media, the news is bent to create the profit. It's not meant to, these news sources where you have bought commercials, the news is bent for the guys with the checkbook. Believe me, in every way, I could never report the stories that I discuss on your radio show or put on BBC or The Guardian. I could never do that on purchased radio, for-profit radios. This is so vital. And if people understand that if we don't support our news outlet, we get goo outlets. We get nonsense. And the difference is that you are giving people organic news, the real thing, the raw stuff, unfiltered, unprocessed. And what you don't want are the Cocoa Puffs of news, which is what you get from the rest of the characters from CNN to PBS to CBS and the rest of that crowd. So, you know, bless you, Michael, for bringing this information to the public.
Specifically in the case of Greece, since this is a Greek radio program, how is independent media important, in your view, in reporting on what is really happening in the country?
You have to have independent media, because otherwise you have dependent media. And if you have dependent media, you have control by the sponsors, you have control by political entities. You need a voice which has not been purchased. That's important, that the only purchaser is you, the listener. And that's why the listener has to become the owner of this radio program. And that's how you're not going to have unshackled news unless you support it. Otherwise, it will be chained to some rich guy's checkbook.
I wanted to take this opportunity to acknowledge your own generous support of this fundraiser, as you have offered 3 DVDs of Vultures and Vote Rustlers as premiums for listeners who make a contribution to our efforts. Tell us more about this DVD.
Well, Vultures and Vote Rustlers is a series of my reports for BBC Television, investigative, old-fashioned detective stories about the rulers of our planet and the misrulers of our planet, including Vulture in the title is one vulture named Paul Singer. When I say he is a financier known as Paul the Vulture Singer, I didn't give him that name, by the way. That's a name he's given by his fellow bankers. And the information we have is that it was Paul the Vulture Singer who ripped off the Greek treasury for over $100 million. During the crisis, because he was the one with the Bass brothers, that they were the only holdouts in the reorganization of Greece's debts. He said, no, I'm not going to take an 80% cut. I'm going to take an 80% profit. So you're going to hear the story of the guy that held Greece hostage.
Before we wrap up, can our listeners expect to hear an interview from you soon here on the Alagos Radio, where we can discuss things such as the Paul Singer controversy?
Absolutely. You'll be hearing from me if you support the program. Otherwise, it ain't going to be on the air. So I want you to check out Vultures and Vote Rustlers. It's the undercover investigation of what is really going on with British Petroleum, with the financial vultures attacking Greece and attacking the Congo and attacking America, the manipulation of U.S. elections by the ultra-rich. You'll recognize this because the guys that manipulate the U.S. elections manipulate your elections, too. So I think it's old-fashioned investigative reporting, but it's also a lot of fun. And I'll be back on the show to talk about these topics if you keep this show alive.
Absolutely. Well, Greg, thank you very much for taking the time to speak with us today and for speaking with our listeners in particular. And thank you very much for your support of our program as well. And we look forward to having you back on soon to talk more about what's been happening in Greece and elsewhere.
Okay, when my book Vultures Picnic comes out in Greece, which should be shortly, I'll come back on the air and we can talk about these vultures.
Wonderful. Well, Greg, thank you very much once again.
You're very welcome. Bye.
That was best-selling author and renowned investigative journalist Greg Pallast on the line with us, taking time out of his busy schedule to share a few words with us about why he personally feels the Alagos Radio deserves your support. The Alagos Media is a not-for-profit organization devoted to bringing listeners like you insightful and exclusive interviews from some of the world's most popular and well-respected figures on subjects that matter to you. Each week here on the Alagos Radio, we report on a variety of subjects, from social issues to the environment to the economy, to what is going on in Greece now, and much, much more. And also featured are exclusive interviews featuring Greeks and Greek Americans who are in the spotlight, current events as they unfold in Greece, features on Greek culture and music, timely commentary, and lots more. The Alagos Radio and the Alagos Media is comprised of a small group of dedicated volunteers who contribute their time each week, making it possible for the Alagos Radio to offer its many friends and listeners weekly bilingual radio programs on 15 radio stations worldwide, with more stations soon to come. Some of our interviews and content have been published in Truthout, Daily Kos, The Huffington Post, and Greece's Hot Dog Magazine, to mention just a few, with more articles scheduled to come as we continue our efforts to bring the very best to our worldwide audience. Beginning today, we are launching the first ever The Alagos Radio fundraising drive. We here at The Alagos Radio love what we do, and it gives us great satisfaction to bring you the quality programming and content which you deserve week after week. We are proud to be a non-commercial radio program, free of corporate and political affiliations, but however, we cannot escape our rising operational costs and expenses, which are vital in order to make it possible for The Alagos Radio and The Alagos Media to operate. This is why we are launching our new fundraising effort, and if you choose to make a donation, you can be assured that your support will go a very long way toward helping the Alagos Radio meet its operational expenses for the season and ensuring that our voice and yours remains in the airwaves. As a way of saying thank you for your financial contribution, we have several exciting and valuable gifts to offer that are sure to please you. Some of the gifts include DVDs, including the Vultures and Vote Rustlers DVD, which is produced by Greg Pallast, as well as DVDs of Greek and Greek-American films such as Foreigner and Palikari, Louis Tikas and Ilodo Massacre, as well as Greek documentaries such as Fascism Inc. and Katastroika. We have a number of books as well, including Austerity, The History of a Dangerous Idea by renowned economist Mark Blythe, which was named one of the best books of 2013 by the Financial Times. We have signed copies of Destiny Prevails by Paul Ioannidis and Dandelions for Dinner by Sam P. Stamatis, as well as copies of such books as The Amorgos Conspiracy and Feasts of Memory by Elias Koulikoundis, The Cineasti Interviews 2, and The Methuselah Factors by Dan Yorgakas, and The Opa Way by Dr. Alex Patakos. We've got some great music as well, including digital downloads of the new album by Imam Bayadi, as well as a book and CD set by the Greek Rembetiko band Rembet Asker. And we are also offering copies of the latest edition of the beautiful, high-quality Greek-American publication Portes magazine, a magazine with high production values which will look great on your living room table. One of these gifts can be yours in exchange for your support of an independent, non-profit, non-commercial, hard-hitting Greek voice. We value your support and your continuing loyalty, and our fundraising drive, however, will only last for a limited time. We, however, would like the Alagos Radio's programming to stay on the airwaves for years to come, and we count on your valuable support. To see all of our premiums and to make your donation, visit our website, thealagosmedia.org, That's dialogosmedia.org, dialogosmedia.org. Your contribution will go a long way toward keeping this radio voice alive, and it will be very much appreciated by all of the volunteers here at Dialogos Radio and Dialogos Media. We'll take another break for more of the great Greek music which you love here on Dialogos Radio, and we'll be back with our commentary of the week.
Εκείνη που άνοιξες τα στήθια μου πληγές, τα μαύρα μάτια σου μ' ανάβουν πυρκαγιές. Τα μαύρα μάτια σου όταν τα βλέπω με ζαλίζουνε και την καρδιά μου συγκλονίζουνε. Όταν τα βλέπω μου θυμίζουνε κάποια αγάπη μου παλιά. Εκείνη που άνοιξες τα στήθια μου πληγές, τα μαύρα μάτια σου μ' ανάβουν πυρκαγιές. Τα μαύρα μάτια σου όταν τα βλέπω με ζαλίζουνε και την καρδιά μου συγκλονίζουνε. Όταν τα βλέπω μου θυμίζουνε κάποια αγάπη μου παλιά.
Dialogos Radio's Commentary of the Week. Each week, Michael Navratakis provides views and opinions on issues pertaining to Greece and to the worldwide Greek community. Coming up next, here on Dialogos Radio. The Greek government recently issued a call for a vote of confidence, and unless something completely unexpected happens, the members of the Greek parliament who belong to the ruling New Democracy and PASOK coalition will most likely provide a vote of confidence to to themselves in order to continue their impressive work of completely dismantling the economic and social fabric of Greece. What, however, doesn't go mentioned nearly as often is a different sort of vote of confidence. The vote of confidence that the Greek public continues to give to the current government in Greece and to the European Union day after day. The vote of confidence that is evident by the fact that this government and the policies of the European Union are tolerated by 1.5 million Greeks who are unemployed in a country of 11 million people. The tolerance toward more unfair, regressive, unconstitutional taxation, which is battering the wallets of Greek households who, contrary to popular belief, are not the ones who are the tax evaders in Greek society. The continued tolerance for the promises that these politicians make, promises of jobs and money and favors which never materialize. The tolerance for an absolutely corrupt and rotten system of justice, or rather injustice, and a public sector which is in many ways dysfunctional, but only because it has been designed that way right at the top. The continued tolerance of employees who work in jobs where they have not been paid for months. The continued fear that people have in Greece to speak out, to say anything uncivil, to even click like on something that might somehow get them branded as politically different. The fact that the ruling political parties and the smaller parties which have supported them won the 2012 Greek parliamentary elections and received almost 50% of the vote in the European parliamentary elections in the local elections this past May. The fact that there is no true nationwide effort to resist policies which have proven to be destroying Greece's economy and society and which have led to almost 5,000 suicides and 250,000 young people migrating abroad. The fact that there is no effort to boycott banks and companies which have contributed to the economic and social mess in Greece. Regardless of the vote of confidence in Parliament, the vote of confidence, or at least of complicity and tolerance, continues to be cast every day by a large part of the Greek society, and that is one of the most unfortunate developments of all in crisis-stricken Greece. Follow Dialogos Radio on Facebook and Twitter and remain connected to all our latest news and updates. Check us out today at facebook.com/dialogosmedia and at twitter.com/dialogosmedia. This is Dialogos Radio, where we just heard Yannis Kotsiras with his live version of Ta Mavra Matia Sou. We are, of course, in the midst of our first ever fundraiser, and aside from our radio programming, we also have a presence in print as well, where recently we have been publishing an ongoing series of investigative articles on the long and troubled history of corruption, lawlessness, patronage, and censorship in Greece's media landscape. This series of articles has been published in truthout.org, and you can find the links to all three parts which have so far been published on our website, dialogosmedia.org, where you can also find out more information about our fundraiser, including all of the great books, DVDs, music, magazines, and other gifts that we are making available to you in exchange for your support of our programming. To pledge your support, simply visit dialogosmedia.org. That's dialogosmedia.org. Today's program is just about ready to come to a close, but we will be back again next week, same time, same place, with more great music and an interview with world-renowned chef and Greek food guru Diane Kotsilas. Until then, we'll close out with one final song, with Glykeria and a song titled Tha Mma Agapisis. Thank you very much for your support and for joining us once again today, and have a wonderful weekend.
Από τα μάτια σου θα κλέψω, τα μάτια μου μονάχα να κοιτάς. Για σένα τη ζωή μου θα ανατρέψω, τις πόρτες μου θα ανοίγω να περνάς. Για μένα κάθε βράδυ θα πεθαίνεις και πάλι θα γεννιέσαι την αυγή. Θα γίνω σκαλοπάτι να ανεβαίνεις, του ποθού σου θα γίνω η κραυγή. Θα μ' αγαπήσεις να το δεις, θα μ' αγαπήσεις. όλα τα κάστρα σου για μένα θα γεμίσεις. Θα μ' αγαπήσεις να το δεις, θα μ' αγαπήσεις. Χίλιες ζωές μέσα στα χέρια μου θα ζήσεις. Χάρη ζωή σου θα ξυπνήσω, θα ντύσω τα σκοτάδια σου με φως, για σένα τα όνειρά μου θα αναστήσω και θα είμαι ο τελευταίος σου σταθμός. Θα μ' αγαπήσεις να το δεις, θα μ' αγαπήσεις κι όλα τα κάστρα σου για μένα θα γεμίσεις. Θα μ' αγαπήσεις να το δεις, θα μ' αγαπήσεις. Χίλιες ζωές μέσα στα χέρια μου θα ζήσεις. Τα κάστρα σου για μένα θα γκρεμίσεις. Θα μ' αγαπήσεις να το δεις, θα μ' αγαπήσεις. Χίλιες ζωές μέσα στα χέρια μου θα ζήσεις.